I don't get this at all. I thought Lopan...
Shut up, Mr. Burton. You are not brought upon this world to get it.
Come on, Lopan is like...
Nothing you can understand. There are many mysteries, many unanswerable questions, even in a life as short as yours.
Yeah, well, the way I see it doesn't mean we shouldn't ask.
You think you got any thug in you?
Mugs, pugs, thugs. Nitwits, halfwits, dimwits.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
But Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Thug means never having to say you're sorry.
So there's this new thing. Somebody posted it on our Twitter feed and all that. I don't know if you've heard it. I'm going to play it, assuming you haven't, because I want you to hear it and get your reaction from it, okay?
Okie dokie.
Have you heard this?
Oh, I saw this post. I didn't listen to it, though.
Someone slowed it down and pitch shifted it. This is kind of how I think it should be, actually.
Jolene, Jolene, Jolene.
Yeah, that's nice.
Please don't take him just.
It's such a fucking depressing song.
It really is.
It's. Holy shit.
Skin and eyes of emerald green.
Nice.
I mean, you hear this and the music works so differently, and there's this build, and I was telling Hope, this is to me the second most like cheerful, depressing song out there. It's second behind Fancy.
Oh, dear.
Because Fancy, for those who don't know the Reba McEntire song, Fancy, here's your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down. It's a mom sending her daughter off to sexualize the rich old man in town.
They should slow down other songs.
Yeah.
Fancy is right up there with one of the dumbest songs ever.
Yeah.
Really? That's what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You got to survive, baby. So go out there and suck that dick. What the fuck?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nobody. What I love with Jolene is it's depressing, but it's beautiful, and it's so, like, heartbreaking when you really listen to it, because it's just, I'm begging you.
Yeah.
Don't fuck my husband because you can. I mean, you could love 1,000 men, but I will never love again. Like, oh, my God.
Mm.
And what I love is it had an album cover of an old picture, a young Dolly Parton. She was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because Hope and I were talking about it. With all the respect that kids give, you know, he's from the streets. He grew up poor from the streets. Like, bitch, let's see how Dolly Parton and, I don't know, Loretta Lynn grew up.
A bit poor.
Yeah. Coat of many colors. That's because here's the only coat I had, and Mama had to make it out of whatever was laying around. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Quilt, blanket, drifter skin. Whatever.
Well, it's like when we talk about the Depression and you're like, you know, my dad went to school in a fucking potato sack.
Yeah.
Like, yep.
Didn't have electricity. He was 12.
Good God. Whew. Yeah. That's
older.
Yeah. Yeah. But also grew up in a rough area and a rough time.
Yeah. And he was dead set against never seeing it again.
Oh, yes. Yes. Worked his ass off. That just... But, yeah, that's something that's always sort of amused me when folks talk about hardcore stuff. Like, really? Really? Go to Appalachia.
People always think these are the worst times.
Yeah.
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
And not ever.
Yeah. Yeah, they never are. There's always a worse time.
Just take it all the way back.
Yeah.
It just gets worse the further back you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, no.
You could look at it as like, yes, your dad didn't have electricity, but he had clothes to put on and a roof to be under.
Yes.
Jump back a little further to, you know, the times of the Mongols.
Yes.
A little bit worse. Go a little further back from that when it's, you know.
Yeah, no one was dressing him up in a little.
Dad's burlap sack.
Yeah, I didn't want to finish that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
somebody else's burlap sack.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do.
Bob. barbaric.
It is barbaric. I can't argue
Speaking
that.
Speaking of barbaric.
Yes.
I couldn't find the sound clip in time, but I needed it for this particular story.
Yes.
Who fucking cares if Ben Affleck is exactly. Batman? Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit at all?
Let it just be a good movie.
Yeah.
That's what we're concerned about here.
Calm the fuck down, people.
That's it.
Calm the fuck down. No, it's going to be the worst thing. Please.
No.
Shut the fuck up.
It's not like Zack Snyder Warner Brothers announces Naomi Campbell is Bruce Wayne.
Carrot Top.
That's a head scratcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Alexander. Mm-hmm. I think you and I are seeing different visions.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Come on. It's Ben Affleck.
I think it
Academy Award winner, Ben Affleck.
Multiple. Two-time Academy Award winner. Actually, was he three-time? Did
I don't know.
He's got more
than
one.
Did it win Best Picture?
Won Best Picture, and he was a producer on it, so he's got the Oscar for that. I don't know if it won the screenplay one, and I think he worked on the screenplay.
Whatever.
But
it's not going to hurt.
No, it's not.
And there's a pretty good chance that DC and Warner Brothers are trying to, not trying, but working Ben Affleck into other things going on with this universe.
Right. Well,
because he was originally tapped, well, at least in negotiations, to direct the Justice League movie.
Interesting.
So, and he's a big comic fan.
Mm-hmm.
So, who's to say he won't direct Justice League or something else?
Well, and it's the same people who fucking bitch and moan about the Christian Bale voice. So, who are now going to be like, he's never going to be as good as Christian Bale. No, he's never going to be.
Christian Bale didn't make or break Batman.
No. Christopher Nolan.
Newsflash.
Did.
Film
is
a collaborative effort.
Yeah, it really
You telling me
really
Ben's just going to sit in his fucking cape while Zach murders something?
Yeah.
Which doesn't do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should try this. Maybe that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but people, again, it goes back to that shit. It's not precisely what I wanted, so I pissed it.
Well, you didn't even know what you wanted. No one knew what they wanted.
No one knew.
You're not going to get Christian Bale back. That's
not
going to happen.
That is not going to happen, period.
People are pissed. Because no one saw it coming.
Yeah.
This was the fucking bash at the beach when Hogan showed up and turned heel. This is one of those things no one saw. It was like supposed to be one of five or six other guys.
Yeah.
And they didn't see it and it pisses them off.
It's
that they didn't call that first.
See,
well,
tough shit.
You fans can stick it, brother.
Nice.
Which
timing.
That's from.
I like that.
Thank you.
It is the epitome of what the real problem is when you hit the fanboy. The real fanboy is you can just like it, and it can be different than what you wanted or expected, and still like it.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, give it a chance.
If it falls flat on its face, we can all turn around and go, "You dumb bastards."
Yeah, and at that point, all the people who were, "Oh my God, Heath Ledger's the Joker's the worst idea ever."
Oh yeah.
Ben Affleck's the worst idea ever. You can all shut the fuck up and go back home.
I had my fucking questions about Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
My entire experience of Heath Ledger up to that point was fucking Night's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I was a little concerned.
Yeah, a little
bit. I also didn't have as much going on in my life.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like what I post in there. I've got a job. Yes. I've got bills. I've got things that approach real problems.
My wife read that this morning. She's like, God, he sounds pissed. No. That's a preemptive strike.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a
shot across the bow. Fucking leave me out of this.
Yes, essentially, it's like everyone, calm down.
Stop.
Calm the fuck down.
Stop it.
You read it.
We're gonna make them eat our shit, then shit out our shit, and then eat their shit that's made up of our shit that we made them eat.
I like it. Well, and it is just more of a everyone. We just need to step back, calm down, and realize what we're talking about. If you don't like this one, guess what? There's the Nolan movies. If you don't like those, then there's the Tim Burton Schumacher ones. If you don't like those, there's the animated series. If you don't like those, then don't watch Batman.
Yes.
You know, that's you can go all the way back to the campy shit from the 70s. There's something there. And if not, hey, you need to go away.
Yes.
Enough fatty is shut your hole.
Stop.
Shut your fucking hole. That's all I gotta say.
It'll all be okay.
Yeah, it'll all work out in the end.
Or not. Mm-hmm. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. I could not have said it better myself.
So there.
Yeah. But I hate it because I've been so busy. I was back to work this week, so I've been so busy. I haven't looked at anything else. I've just sort of come home and, okay, I'm good for now. I'm good for now.
Well, so. I guess you heard about Elmore Leonard.
Yeah. That was sad. That was sad. I mean, he
had a good run, but still.
Did you see on the Oh God, this was brilliant. The Soup showed what needs to be known, what is now known as the worst transition in the history of local news. They talked about, you know, Elmer Leonard dying, mm-hmm. and it was, oh, the, you know, it was you know, he wrote these, he wrote that, he's a really great guy. Yeah, right. And the woman then tried to segue that into talking about the NSYNC reunion. She did so by going, all right, well, bye, bye, bye. Yes. And did the hand move and everything. And it was almost as if as...
Barbaric!
Oh, that's awful.
As soon as it came out of her mouth, you could see her kind of go, huh, perhaps that was not the best idea. It was like, have you
War,
seen...
murder, death. All the same to you as bottles of beer.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, it's like, did you see, what was it that, there was something that was kind of similar to it. I blanked on it. I'll remember it. Remember it later. I hate it because I had it right there. I was like, oh, fuck. And then it just slipped away. But certainly, bye, bye, bye. Oh, no, it was, there was a politician that was talking about some other person, some other politician. He was like talking to the news guy and he's like, yeah. He'll give this to people. He's known for giving it to the citizens, but without Vaseline. And then walks away, and a minute later comes back. He's like, I'm sorry, I just realized what I said. That wasn't politically correct. Like, dude, you just said that shit on camera, and it's not going anywhere ever.
Fuck Karen.
Oh.
Yeah. Just the sort of thing where once he said it, you kind of look at him like, really? Really? That's what you thought?
Oh, my.
Oh, Lord. So.
Terrifying.
It really is. Did anything else of worth happen this week that's worth discussing?
Not really.
Yeah. Trying to think on it. It's like not so much. The rest of the world is falling apart.
Yeah, well, that happens.
As happens.
But go ahead.
Happy little soiree. Personally, you disgust me.
Because the world's falling down around our ears.
Yeah. So let's be real serious.
As per usual.
Yeah. The, anytime that I see an election is happening somewhere outside of the U.S., I'm just like, people are going to die. People are just going to die. That's all there is to it. So, yeah.
Everywhere they're playing COCs, vote with a bullet.
Yeah.
Except here. Yeah.
It's just the world dies. So.
Yes, have some.
Yeah.
That's not good.
So this week we are discussing, there's only four technically, but we are discussing the films of Monty Python.
Yes.
I rewatched the three theatricals this week, tried to at least, and we can sort of discuss them in turn. Does this sound good? At what point did Live at the Hollywood Bowl, or Now for Something Completely Different, come out?
1971.
Okay, because I've never seen Live at the Hollywood Bowl.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. So I mean,
Hollywood Bowl happened in 71.
I'm sorry. I say Live at the Hollywood Bowl. I mean Now for Something Completely Different.
71.
But Now for Something Completely Different, that's just sort of a greatest hits stage show, right?
Pretty much.
Okay.
The same guy that directed a lot of the show
mm-hmm.
was brought on to direct that.
Okay.
And it was supposedly used to introduce Monty Python to America.
Okay.
And large, right? Not just the people that were getting it through the Canadian feed or whatever.
Okay.
It didn't quite do that
mm-hmm.
To just workaday Americans,
right?
But it was my first exposure to them.
Okay.
Other than the audio stuff, that's what I got exposed to first.
All right. So let's talk through that. Let's talk through Monty Python, our history with them, our first exposures, and so you started out with the albums, probably Instant Record Collection.
It was Contractual Obligation.
Okay.
Was the first thing I heard.
All right.
And then the final ripoff. My cousin, Ed Ingram, just fucking delivered it to me one day randomly at a beach trip. On the way back from the beach, we were just small kids.
Uh-huh.
And started playing it.
Uh-huh.
And if nothing else.
Right.
Thank you, Ed.
See, and I didn't really get into it much until you introduced me to some of it later, but I personally got to know them flipping through the TV one night. You know, it was a Sunday night, kind of late. I couldn't fall asleep. I had a little TV in my room. I was in like sixth or seventh grade, and it was like 10 o'clock at night. And I stumbled across this thing where a guy bought a pet ant and then bought all kinds of stuff for it and then took it back to return it because it was missing a leg. And it was Eric Idle from a much later episode of Monty Python. And from there, that's when it entered my mind and I knew it was there and I kind of checked some stuff out. And then you before camp, I fucking remember this so well. My friend Jason came over and we watched FX, The Deadly Art of Illusion.
Ah, yes.
This was back at the time when VHS tapes, when you'd get a tape of something and it would have just oftentimes weird ads for movies in front of it. Like, you know, there'd be an ad for the Macintosh Man just for some reason. There's like, and this one had an ad for Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And I'd watched a handful of shows. He'd watched some and we were familiar with them. We were interested in it. So the next time we hung out, we went and got Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Nice.
And that was where I really kind of solidified. Then through meeting you at camp, you had the records. And I went out and I got the instant record collection. And I got into it. And really just from then on, I was there with them.
Yeah, I had listened to it. Ed's stuff that he'd given me, he recorded some stuff on tape and sent it to me. He's from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent me all this stuff. And then I kind of had it in the background of my life, but it was just my own little thing.
Uh-huh.
You're in small town Texas, you think, no one possibly knows this.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then my friend Jake, I turned him onto it, or he was into it too, or we didn't know that we were both into the same thing.
Right.
Probably doing their own thing. Like, no one else has ever heard of this.
Uh-huh.
And then it really blew up. So when I met you, I was deep in the throes of full-on Nerdist Python sadness.
Yeah.
Beyond every other fucking quote out of my mouth was, you know.
Are you embarrassed easily? I am. But it's nothing to worry about. It's all part of growing up and being British.
Everything.
And there's some great stuff. What's funny is I remember losing my shit at a moment in Hot Shots Part 2, even though it's not a very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's one line that I almost had a fucking heart attack. I laughed so hard at, and it's where there's all this fighting going on, and these guys have a mortar that they're firing, and they drop a shell in, and Miguel Ferrer comes up behind him and uses a stick to push the mortar completely vertical, so it goes up and lands, and boom, blows up. And he looks at the camera and holds he's got the stick next to him, kind of American Gothic-esque, and he goes, "War. It's fantastic."
Ah, yes, it is.
Fantastic.
And that line, for the longest time, you're like, that's the funniest thing ever. And I watched that sketch. I was like, God damn, that's brilliant.
This is Ernest Scribner, manufacturer of jokes.
He wrote the funniest joke ever. A joke so funny it kills anyone who reads it.
Yeah.
And they tried to weaponize it. That was Eric Idle as an American general watching a guy die after reading the joke and says, and so just seeing him, "War, it's fantastic." Like, okay, they're fans of the Pythons as well.
Yeah.
This is, has there ever been, or possibly will there ever be, a comedy troupe that has had this massive an impact on global comedy?
I can't think of one.
Yeah.
Maybe there is. I read that they were influenced by other people.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Damned if I know them.
Yeah, by proxy, you know, because there's a bunch of stuff like The Goon Show and, you know, At Last, the 1942 show, Do Not Adjust Your Set. But, they, you know, a lot of those things they were part of. What blows my mind looking at the Pythons more than anything else is the least impressive education is Terry Gilliam's degree in political science from Occidental.
Yes.
The fact that
he's a low man on the poll.
Yeah, you've got John Cleese, Oxford-educated lawyer. You have Graham Chapman.
Mehmet in Cambridge.
Okay, Mehmet in Cambridge. Okay, so I think it was, I know that Graham.
Palin's from Oxford.
Yeah, Palin is
from
Oxford.
It was the Oxford group and the Cambridge group
as
they were split out.
Cleese was Cambridge. See, I always thought Cleese was at Oxford.
He may have been as well.
I think he read law at Oxford. Palin was a historian from Oxford. Eric Idle, I think, was at English at Cambridge. Graham Chapman is a doctor from Cambridge.
He was fully trained and legally entitled to practice as a doctor.
Yeah, a medical fucking doctor. Yeah. Shut up, shut up, shut up.
You're king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water. signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king. Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony. Be quiet. But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you. Back up! I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
It's fucking great.
Yeah.
It's so intelligent in their way. And what blows me away about them is when you listen to it, they didn't improvise ever. Every once in a while, they'd improvise the timing.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was written. And if you really look at it, you can't improv this shit. It has to be down.
So much of it, like the parrot sketch, you've seen, you know, iconic. I didn't even bother recording it because who doesn't know that? But the parrot shop sketch, the pet shop sketch, has been done so many times you can actually tell just by listening to it which one it is.
Yeah.
That's going very slow. And that whole thing at the end about bereft of life, he's left, he rests in peace.
Mm-hmm.
If he's doing it very slow and methodical,
uh-huh.
that's from the movie. If he's doing it fast, mm-hmm. that's from the show because all the energy is bought.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you see when they did it on Saturday Night Live?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was a fucking heartbreak right there.
Yeah.
Because they evidently weren't really into it. I mean, it really didn't seem that way. It was the most low energy kind of by the numbers. Let's just get through with this performance of anything that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad because it's such a well-known thing, you know? Yeah. So I went through and we rewatched all this cause Hope hadn't seen any of them.
Wow.
She hadn't seen any of them. We started with Brian and then did Holy Grail, but we'll go chronologically just because Holy Grail, that movie is all over the fucking place.
A bit.
Yeah. It is fucking all over the place. That doesn't mean it's bad. It fits with what they're going for. But holy shit, you want to talk about just structurally from a writer's standpoint is fucking everywhere. It is a shotgun blast.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
But there's some brilliant shit, and obviously at the end it was just like, and scene.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And for those who were like, no, they had a solid ending thought, I was like, no, they didn't. Because up until they filmed that, the original plan was for them to find the Holy Grail at Harrod's. Because you can find everything at Harrod's.
Right. They were going to wander around the department store.
Yeah. And then they had a... But some of the shit in it, the random violence, the odd shit, was so... perfectly done and brilliantly executed.
A lot of the problem was that Jones and Gilliam kind of split directorial duties. Jones, for a lot of things, is a very underrated part of that group, as they call him, the heart of the group.
Right.
Jones is very, we go here, we do this happens because of this, Gilliam is Gilliam.
Yeah.
And you can just imagine those discussions. Let's call them that.
Yeah.
They weren't quite the knockdown dragouts that Jones is purported to have with Cleese. But they had to be pretty up there.
Yeah.
Because Gilliam's already an obstinate son of a bitch at this age. Yes. I can't imagine.
Oh, a fucking young man, angry young man. Here's the thing that throws me with him. I've never really said this out loud. I've only said this out loud to Hope. I fucking hate the cartoons on Monty Python. I hate the animation.
Wow.
I just don't like it.
There it is.
At all. There it is.
Wow.
Yes, well, that's the sort of blinkered Philistine pig ignorance I've come to expect from you non-creative garbage.
That worked out perfectly.
It really did. It really, really did.
I had no idea I was going to shoehorn that in here. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. I'm here to help.
Oh, do go on, please.
It's just a type of animation that I don't like the style. It's hippie bullshit.
Right.
You know, I just see some guy in a fucking paisley shirt. I see Leopold Saint Dubois from the producers sitting there doing it. And I'm like, oh, fucking get over yourself. But also, if you look at it, that's the part of the show that Gilliam always had total control over.
Yeah, he worked alone. That was
so. It's not surprising because I've never been a huge Gilliam fan. I don't. His sensibility doesn't connect for me.
And I almost get the sense that it was, aren't you supposed to go over there and cut and paste things?
Yeah. Yeah.
You. Eric, you write some songs.
Yes.
You. Yeah, you.
Uh-huh.
American.
Yes.
You. You, you, you.
Shut up, you American. You always talk, you Americans. You talk and you talk and you say, let me tell you something and I just want to say this. Well, you're dead now, so shut up.
So let me just say this. It's never worked, and they always feel weird to me. So you know, the little bits where that popped up throughout Holy Grail was just, okay.
Well, that's odd.
What I loved about Holy Grail, though, is how it essentially is them plus, like, two or three other people.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very, with the exception of the large scenes full of extras, they're really, it was them, period. And that's tough to pull off.
Yeah.
You got to be young and want it in those days.
And have nothing else going on.
Exactly, yes, exactly. And so that one impressed me. I just remember the first time I saw it when... being like, this is all right. This is okay. Okay, yeah, bring out your dead. That's pretty funny. The whole fight about the sword, that's funny. When they got to the first castle and the cow came over the fence.
That's good.
That was the greatest fucking moment ever. Just because, boing, and then you see the cow kind of go up. And then it's obviously a little plastic toy that's on a string or something. Fantastic the way that was done. That I was like, I'm in for the haul on this. And then it sort of fell apart. And it's weird because I always sort of criticized this friend of my parents who I talked about, and he goes, yeah, you know what that movie felt like? It felt like someone said, you know what would be funny? Let's have Monty Python and have them going after the Holy Grail. And that's about all the planning that went into it. And I kind of step back now and I go, from a script structural story standpoint, yes, that's exactly what happened. Holy shit, you're right.
Pretty much.
Now, granted, it's genius. I think it's one of the funniest movies ever made.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's screamingly hysterical, but it's a little all over the place.
Oh, it's scattershot.
Yeah, yeah. Then they follow that up with Life of Brian 4 years later, because it's like the show ended, and 4 years later they did the first movie, right?
Yeah, the show ended in...
Was it 71, wasn't it?
And Cleese left... at series three, beginning of series three, I think.
Right.
And then I think they came together either for the movie or that kind of happened around the same time.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then they disbanded as far as the show, came back for the movies, and then Life of Brian happened, 5 years after.
Can I say something here? Okay. I've always been fascinated at the difference between series and season. Because here in the America, a show period is called a series, which is then broken down into seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Over in the UK, it's a show series one, series two, which is odd because it feels like it separates them too much, to me at least. You know, it's this series and then that series. Although I understand it, it's just always seemed weird because to me it's the series. And then the individual seasons of it.
Why don't you learn to talk American? Save us all a lot of fucking trouble.
Off my soapbox now. Off my Mitchell soapbox.
Oh, do go on, please.
Do go on, please. Now, Life of Brian's an interesting one because I appreciated it a whole lot more this time watching it than I did the last time I watched it, which was many a year ago. I understand why people were offended by it. I can totally understand that. Again, I think it just goes back to my personality. I'll never understand the I'm offended by it, therefore it should be banned and not allowed to be shown in this country.
No.
It's like, what, really? No. Are we those people now? Is that who we've become? Is that what this is? Because like Hope and I watched it, and her family's very religious. Mm-hmm. She was able to roll with it. She thought it was funny, but it's shocking. And I was like, so could your parents? And she was like, no, I don't think not my dad even. There'd be a little too much with the singing on the cross at the end and stuff like that.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Yeah. Someone taking offense to that?
Yes, evidently, yeah. The little shit that they put in there where if you just view it as an assault on society, period.
I see.
I think that it's great. If you step away from the religion, except you can't. You can't separate the religion from it.
No.
Because it's fucking scene one. It's there immediately.
It's not the Messiah. It's a very naughty boy.
Because basically it's saying if you have religion, you're not thinking for yourself. It's kind of the central tenet of what's going on there.
Sort of.
It's,
they were very hostile to organized religion.
Yes.
Fine. But if you aren't, then yeah, that's... it's got to shake your tree a bit.
Yeah.
I
love what they did with, you know, like the Judean People's Front.
Oh,
the People's
fuck,
Front.
That's the best.
When they're having the meet, like the Eric Idle character, when it's like any man or woman, him or her,
yeah,
on everything. It's, and what's funny is today that's funnier.
Oh yeah,
because you can't get away from that shit anymore.
I love. It's always the little things with me.
Mm-hmm.
Palin's. Why are you always going on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
I want to be one. That whole scene is perfect. Yeah. All the little things. The things I try to record some of these bits from that particular scene.
Uh-huh.
They don't really translate well.
No, they don't. No.
But goddamn, they're good.
Yeah.
I really hate the Romans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? How much? A lot. Right, you're in.
Right. And Hope even said, she was like, if you grew up a British schoolboy being taught Latin... The scene of him painting that on the wall, probably, we think it's funny.
It's funny,
there
but
are people
I can't
over
imagine.
There that were just probably dying, like, oh my God, that's exactly what that's, oh my God, that's, now do it 100 times. Letters is big. When they're sitting there having the votes about everything, that just, if you've ever been part of a group, like, that follows parliamentary procedure and does vote, you look at that scene like, yeah. And fucking shit, man. I'm sorry, a question's been called. Oh, we're in debate, God. So you can't say anything unless there's a point to that. Like, oh, Jesus, I'm fucking leaving. You idiots, you nerds can have your way. But even down to at the end when they come to rescue him, it's like, no, we're just here to read this. And Beth's like, no, you could come up and do something. And
no, Suicide Squad.
That was great. I like, though, that they showed that people forget that crucifixion was kind of commonplace for the Romans.
Very common.
That's all they did to execute people. And that was sort of the point of the crucifixion, is it's horrifying, but it kind of happens all the time. So it was meant to be a commoner's death.
Yeah.
That, but, God, that... Fucking, again, everybody's... An election, everybody's going to fucking die. Yeah. That's what I see going on there with it.
Freedom for me.
Yeah.
You told me I could just go. I could just go.
I could just go. Yeah. Oh, well, all right
off
then.
Young. Just kidding. Crucifixion for me.
Yeah. Like, could be worse. Could be, you know, could get shit. Stabbed.
Could get stabbed. Then, blessed are the cheesemakers. The parts with Jesus are relatively reverent.
Yeah.
It's just... I love the idea. I had to explain this to my parents because I watched The Life of Brian almost like looking over my shoulder.
Yeah.
And kind of got busted in the middle of it. Like, wait a minute. It's not about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's about the life of Brian,
mm-hmm,
who was born next to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. His neighbor.
That's all.
Yeah.
A bomb! It's all great, but... No.
But it was interesting to see how they... Brian is not as screamingly funny as Holy Grail.
But it's a better movie.
But it's a better movie. It's one
structurally,
of the,
anyway.
It's one of those things where I will go to the Van Halen, Van Hagar thing. They were more fun with Dave. That's Holy Grail. But they were a more structured actual band with Sammy.
Right.
And they actually wrote songs. They didn't just have Eddie dicking around on guitar and Dave
cover.
Literally going, I gotta peek a pooka laka. Like, you didn't even put in a real line there. You just.
Oh, too gone.
Ow!
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yes.
That high pitch aspiration that Lee Roth just is his bread and fucking butter
thing,
that
man.
I couldn't do if I tried, as was evidenced just now.
Yes. Nor
man,
I.
Man, that's right, man. Diamond Dave.
Oh, God.
Jesus, that fucking guy. Although I think I'd like him now more than I would have back in the day.
Did you hear his show with Rogan?
Yeah.
Like, epic.
Holy shit, I think
just
I'd actually...
living in an apartment in Japan.
I could get along with this guy where he's like, hey, when else am I going to get to do it? I got the ability. Why the fuck not?
Me and my dog.
Yeah.
Living in a little apartment in Japan.
studying the sword, going to the sumo, all that shit. Like, pff,
okay.
It's kind of, hell yeah. It shows an enjoyment of life that I can really get behind.
Yeah.
But, yeah, with Brian, it's weird because it never stood out in my mind that much because I was so into Holy Grail. And then I saw Brian, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's a lot more structured. It's a lot smarter and all this, but dude, where's the...
God.
Where's the blowing up rabbits and the fucking, you know, weird shit? Which was there, but just not in the abundance.
It came around in my life at a perfect time.
Right, right.
And it made for a lot of interesting CCD classes. Let me tell you, that whole speech of the different philosophers and religious figures in the square.
Uh-huh.
And the crazy guy screaming, and it finally gets to Michael Palin. You know, like, and people will say things about them. And I'm not getting right. this line correct, so I'm just ad-libbing.
Yeah.
They will talk about their fathers and talk about things they left on their dresser about 3 o'clock. It just goes down from crazy uh-huh. to sort of religious to just whatever.
Things.
People yeah. making shit up as they go.
Do it.
Yes, well, that's the sort of blinkered, philistine, pig ignorance I've come to expect from you non-creative garbage.
But what fascinated me, and I was talking about it with Hope, people don't realize that at that time in that part of the world, people at least claiming to be the Messiah...
It happened quite
fairly
often.
...fairly commonplace. Yeah. In fairness, it happens that... It happens the same amount now.
Yes.
It's just there's more shit going on.
Yes.
There's just more stuff to distract us. So,
yes.
Yeah. That's why the whole crucifixion and resurrection thing is such a big deal. And it's just like, oh, holy shit. Damn.
What the fuck?
That should be, yes, that's Jim's summary.
Go on, please.
Jim's summary of... The fucking gospel. Holy shit.
Fantastic.
Damn. Wait a minute. Didn't you die?
Well, you're back.
Fucking saw you.
That's fucking awesome.
Why did I have to carry you to a
that
fucking...
That is a fucking great story. It happened in Egypt, too, with this one thing. And it happened in...
Well, what's funny... Oh.
And it happened in this...
Cranked did this article on documentaries that were full of shit. The first two that they list, Supersize Me and Religious.
Well, fucking Religious. Yeah,
but the fact that they, but I mean, they're talking about just the facts that they quoted yeah. in Religious. It's like, really? Oh, Bill, come on, Bill.
Bill, 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 Billy, Bill, Bill. Little Billy Baru.
I forget the language, but there's that word for a face in need of a fist.
Oh, I don't
that
know.
That is the Bill Maher puss.
But it's not good, buddy.
No.
Barbaric!
It is.
It's one thing, the entire documentary, and then right at the end,
mm-hmm.
as if to say, I'll only put the tip of it in.
Yeah.
Religion wow. is the cause of all war. What?
Huh?
What?
Whoa,
yes,
whoa.
If we just get rid of religion, then all war will disappear. Good night. Did that stick? Do you all believe that now?
Did
Fuck
he
no.
just say that stupid
it's not
shit
a reason.
Out loud?
Yeah. It's an excuse.
Yeah. Yes.
And it'll never, ever,
mm-hmm.
ever leave.
Yeah.
Ever.
See, if it's not religion, it'll be something like, I don't know, your national flag. If it's not your national flag, it will be the color bandana that you wear. There are people who are looking to fuck some shit up.
Take away whatever you like. We will find a way to separate ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what people do.
As a human race,
yeah.
it just happens.
Yep. 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 That's why I still... one of my favorite Dane Cook lines. That's a mouthful.
Thank you, Satan.
Just kidding. I don't care.
He said that, you know, if aliens ever landed, he said the only thing that would really kind of be fitting that would, you know, sort of show us up as Americans is if aliens have landed and they were all like 12-foot-tall Native American Indians. That's the only way that we'd ever really kind of get justice in this. Americans finally get what's coming to them. But yeah, that I get it because I've never been religious at all.
Right.
Not even a little bit.
Right.
And so I'm able to watch it totally dispassionately, mm-hmm. but I'm able to see where, God damn, that could piss a few people off.
And I've been all over the spectrum. I've yeah. been deeply devout and mm-hmm. completely without faith.
Yeah.
Multiple times in my life.
Oh, yes.
It ain't a one thing or other, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of shades.
Yeah.
Many shades.
Yes.
A coat of many colors.
Nice. I like it. See?
Yeah.
I like how you did that. You brought it right back.
Sure did.
Around.
What an asshole.
Yeah.
But.
Gee, she is an asshole.
She
isn't
is.
Dolly Parton's such an asshole.
Like a pain in the ass. Like anyone wants to hear you sing. No one gives a shit.
Yeah. Jill.
Whatever, motherfucker.
Meat drapes. It's Madrobides.
Madrobides.
No.
But I wasn't offended. I wasn't offended once.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can understand if you were.
But you also bring a certain level of sense of humor to it, and you don't take yourself that seriously.
No.
You're able to step back and go, oh, okay, yeah, that's ridiculous. That's okay. I get this.
Brian at one point falls into a spaceship.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Everybody,
I got that.
Calm down.
Hope was sitting there like, so is this happening? Yes, it is. This is happening. And so, yeah, that was good shit.
God is love.
In a spaceship.
I don't love you.
Oh. That's no fun. Although, speaking of no fun, I made it 20 minutes into Meaning of Life. It was just like, fuck this. I'm done. Fuck it. Fuck it.
Meaning of Life has very interesting parts.
Yes. Yes.
I believe the story goes, this great long documentary they had on AMC, I believe, about Monty Python.
Yes.
Talking about, let's get together and write another film.
Okay.
And everyone was really kind of doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And decided, well, let's do this, all sitting at a beach somewhere.
Right.
Drinking drinks. Well, I've got this stuff, and I've got a handful of this, and I've got a handful of that. So it was much more like the show.
Right.
Where random shit, and let's try to find something as loose as it can be.
Right.
It may be to tie it all together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know how Meaning of Life showed up, but someone just kind of threw it out there, and they went from there.
But
it had like 4 or 5 false starts with different premises. I mean,
it starts out so weird with the fucking pirate businessman thing that's like...
Again, Terry Gilliam, this goes full circle to where he was cutting and pasting little pictures. Right?
Uh-huh.
And like, you just work over there, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Show us your stuff. And he was just going to do this little piece that was going to be threaded into the feature.
Uh-huh.
It got to be so goddamn big. The soundstage was twice the size of what they were working on. And finally they said, fuck it, just do whatever you're going to do with the Crimson Permanent Assurance, and we'll go over here, we'll put it as a short in front of the feature.
That movie is so, the first part, the Crimson Assurance, is so fucking Gilliam, it's not even funny.
It's the most Gilliam of Gilliam next to Time Bandits.
Yeah, everything in it, like there are parts where that looks like something out of Brazil, that looks like something out of, like, you know, the building sailing down the street, like, holy shit.
All of it.
Which, you know, again, it was interesting, but it felt like it just went on way too long.
Yeah.
And the only hint that you got was that it was a Monty Python was the fact that Gilliam and Palin were the window washers at one of the places they pull up to. Other than that, there's no hint. If you went and saw that in the theater, you'd be like, am I on the right? What the? Huh?
I think they show up at the boardroom.
Okay.
I think Chapman and Palin. People aren't wearing enough hats as Americans.
Yeah.
But... you know, they're in for a second.
It really felt like, to me, had it been all the Pythons playing those parts, I think I would have liked it more. It would have come off funnier to me. But see, then it goes into the Every Sperm is Sacred song, which I don't care for many of their songs. I just don't.
Right.
Sorry. And if Every Sperm is Sacred had only been, I don't know, 5 minutes instead of what felt like a half an hour.
This is why. This is my favorite song from that film.
Isn't it awfully nice to have a penis? Isn't it frightfully good to have a dong? It's swell to have a stiffy. It's divine to own a dick. From the tiniest little tadger to the world's biggest prick. So 3 chars for your Willie or John Thomas.
It's dancing and being
hooray for your one-eyed trouser snake. Your piece of pork, your wife's best friend, your Percy or your cock. You can wrap it up in ribbons, you can slip it in your sock. But don't take it out in public or they will stick you in the dock. And you won't come back. Oh, thank you very much.
See?
Mm-hmm. Not bad, huh?
Still not short enough.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't like those songs. I don't like many of the songs just because it feels like I grew up in a different. Well, I did grow up in a different time, and so many of the songs feel like, oh my god, we're saying penis and we're throwing out all these different terms for cock. Isn't that subversive? And isn't that getting? I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. I remember. I also grew up with a man who, my dad. My favorite story of my father's profanity. Erica.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship.
Erica, the ex, who I call the capital X, the one right. I was engaged to. She was very religious and like shockingly offended by use of the word goddamn. The
really?
Term goddamn. Yeah. Oh, she did. She wouldn't stand for
she
it.
She didn't care for me much.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
My dad used it in front of her once. And I made a statement how she didn't care for it. And my father's way of cleaning up his language for her, and this is a direct quote, because of that gosh darn cocksucking son of a bitch.
Mm. Oh.
That's the language I grew up with.
Are you embarrassed easily?
Oh, my.
That's what I grew up with from an early age. So somebody singing a song about penis, I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Really didn't do much. Every sperm is, okay, whatever. Mm. Not really doing anything for me. It's
right.
I think I'm the only one who listens to Sit on My Face. I'm like, oh, this fucking thing. Great. Yes, it's very funny. You're making a bawdy little sex joke.
I see.
And good for you. Now, now, now.
What did your father do to you?
He used a lot of fucking profanity. What did he do to me? He totally desensitized me to language.
Smart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberry.
That's always funny.
Empty food trap whopper. So, like, the language stuff never shocked me. Like, shit, I remember watching Carlin on Campus mm-hmm. with my dad when I was 9.
Yeah.
I, like, just so that shit never hit me. It was always how it was being used. What are you doing with this language that makes it so whatever? Mm-hmm. And, like, there's a thing that they do on NTSFSDSUV, mm-hmm. Hosted by the guys from it's Paul Scheer show. Yeah. Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made, and Rob Riggle plays the president of the Navy, and he uses profanity all the time. And they did a great King's Speech takeoff of it, where nice. He was supposed to do a speech somewhere, and they sent him to a speech therapist, and he's like, Jesus, as y'all motherfuckers prepare to step through the fucking stage to fuck me, I have a problem. And he'd be like, that's great. Somebody just uses that much profanity and doesn't even connect right. that he's doing it, I think is great. But it's just weird because it's hard to really pin a lot of down, like why I don't find it funny other right. than it just doesn't do much for me. Which is why, like, people are thrown by how much I cuss, because I've cussed my whole life. Like, mm-hmm. seriously, when I was a little kid, I cussed all the time because I heard it all the time.
Right.
Now with my job, I can't. Mm-hmm. So when I'm outside of work, my language is awful.
Mine is dreadful.
Yes.
Just dreadful.
Terrible. Like, seriously, if I ever go to a job where it's okay for me to cuss, like if we could turn this professional.
Oh, dear.
By people going to our website and getting shit from T-Fury and Amazon and mm-hmm. On It and all that from thefilmthugs.com.
That'd be great.
Seamless.
Get on that.
My language would explode. Oh god, it would be terrible. This, like, seriously, I'm going to put it this way. The first show that we did is the closest we've gotten to how much I really cuss.
Oh yeah.
I censor myself on the show, don't I?
A bit, yeah.
Yeah, I am. I'm not gross with it. I just use a lot of profanity. So
oh, stewardess. I speak jive.
Not a lot of it.
Yeah, a lot of that fucking.
I work in construction, so.
Yeah, I know. It's.
But you do find yourself subconsciously editing.
Yeah.
Depending on who you're talking to.
Yes, yes, I can see that. I can totally see that.
And it's weird mm-hmm. because if I know I'm not talking to a potential client.
Right.
It's fuckity fuck fuck fuckity fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a lazy slob.
No, I just don't care.
Yeah, I just don't care. I'm very proud of you for admitting that.
Yeah.
I don't embrace.
I got that on the other page.
Oh, man. I do. I embrace solutions.
Embrace excuses. I embrace solutions.
Right.
I embrace eyelids.
He does.
as wide as they can be.
Oh, be nice.
I am a prick. Yeah, they're... Seriously, and so I, when a movie starts out with something that's apparently meant to get just a rise out of the use of the word, mm-hmm. like,
nah,
okay, I don't need. I mean, then when they go to the next scene, I thought it was much funnier. It's like I could go right now and buy a condom.
Yes,
perfectly.
Or French ticklers.
Yeah, and even then, I got a little like, okay, so you know, a bunch of different types of condoms. This is hilarious just because of Eric Idle's response.
Yes,
we've had sex twice and we have two children.
Well, not by choice. They're making fun of Protestants.
Yes. And Catholics all in one swoop, which
beautiful.
Is nice. But yeah, I stopped halfway through the Every Sperm is Sacred song because I was just like, fucking can't, because I remember not really liking it very much when I was younger. When I saw it when I was younger, I liked it because there was some scenes with boobs, but
yeah,
didn't connect.
It is really the most random bit of weirdness ever to come out of those boys.
And what's weird is, if I were to put it, I think the best Monty Python movie is not even a Monty Python movie. It's A Fish Called Wanda.
Mm.
If they'd gotten a couple more of the guys, they could have passed it off as a Python film. But if you look at it, Cleese and Palin are, I think, at their absolute funniest in that film.
Oh.
And both of them get wildly overshadowed by Kevin Kline. Kevin Kline just comes in and is just like drops his junk on the table. Is like, I think you better deal with this.
Apes don't read philosophy.
Yes, they do, Otto. They just don't understand it. Aristotle was not Belgian. The central tenet, the London Underground, is not a political movement. The central tenet of Buddhism is not every man for himself. Those are all mistakes, Otto. I looked them up.
Asshole!
Asshole! I love the way your ass moves when you walk.
No one touch him. He's mine.
Limey fruit. It's if you like, seriously, that is in so many regards a Python film.
Yeah,
with so much of the comedy, but it,
that whole chip scene.
Oh, the chip scene. Jeez.
Jesus Christ. And then of course the pure Python part with Cleese and Palin together.
Oh god, yeah. But what's great is that then when he just at the end, yes, he threw. He just says it like it's nothing. But the Kline shit, I remember you and I quoting the Don't Touch Him, He's Mine and Asshole. That was our first bit that we would throw out. I'd be walking with some people and just way behind me I'd hear, Asshole!
Yes.
Like, hold on, Clarkson's coming. We gotta wait. This is fucking guy is hilarious. Hold on.
Oh, that movie is so fucking funny.
It really is. It kills me. Like, even thinking about it, I'm like, God damn, I want to watch A Fish Called Wanda tonight.
It's on my list of rewatchables.
Yeah, it is.
It's like Fletch.
Mm-hmm.
Play it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Watch it again.
I imagine, like, if they'd cast one of the pythons as the old woman with the dogs. But even then, it's like, no, that...
And Terry Jones
couldn't
pull that one off.
Tell those pigs to fuck off. Fuck off, pigs.
Fuck off, pigs.
I said fuck off.
Fuck off. You're Archie Leach. Leach.
You know what, Archie Leach? That's Cary Grant's real name, which is genius.
I wonder. God damn, that is funny.
The scene that I go back to that I had damn near as my outgoing message for a while was, oh, you English are so superior. You giant. You're a true Vulgarian. You're the Vulgarian, you fuck. Don't call me stupid. Why on earth not? That, you want to talk about a pain in the balls broad. Oh, my God.
He even has a woof of Wendy.
A woof of Wendy. No, no, that's not my problem. They offered you this. I don't like it. I'm not going to take. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. With broads like you walking around, how is that island not just devoid of life?
Oh, do go on, please.
Oh, God. Please is my, I think, probably is my favorite Python.
Just
because... Eric Idle in an interview was asked about Cleese. Like, well, let me see if I have it here. I think it's actually in the Wikipedia thing.
Right.
Or I may have deleted it. Shit.
Or did shit.
I? Shit.
Shit.
Did I? Shit. No, I did. I did delete it. He had said basically Cleese never wanted to be liked. Never cared about being liked or even wanted to be liked, which gave him an arrogant freedom.
Nice.
I like that.
You totally deranged. You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, English, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole.
Very interesting. You're a true vulgarian, aren't you?
You're the vulgarian, you fuck!
Oh, God. Yeah, and there is. He doesn't care if he's liked. He just delivers.
It's his delivery, which is the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything, all my favorite early skits from Contractual Obligation, Cheese Shop, you wrote with Chapman, the Bookshop, which is the fucking crown jewel for me.
I don't know if I've ever heard Bookshop.
That's where this is from.
Oh, do go on, please.
Again, even in that, I find the little things the funniest.
Right.
But a guy comes in looking for books or whatever, and he's making shit up. I'm looking for Charles Dickens, written by Charles Dickens. Oh, yes. No, it's Dickens with 2 K's, the well-known Dutch author, this thing.
Okay.
It's a rather obscure bit.
Right.
But God damn it, it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
The best. I think I actually may have it.
We'll do it. Find that shit. But that was...
Talk amongst yourself.
Yes. It fascinated me that when you were really able to focus in on, you know, that pure, just single voice, how great it was able to come off. And it's so crazy. If you look at the, you know, all of those guys could essentially are set for life. Even if they've gone, if they are broke, every member of that troupe can get a job just based off of my resume is Monty Python's Flying Circus. Oh, all right. I mean, the fact that Cleese is just de facto in everything, you know, he strikes me as the type who's like, well, I like money, so let's do that.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Can I help you?
Yes. Do you have a copy of 30 Days in the Samarkand Desert with the Duchess of Kent by A.E.J. Elliott, O.B.E.?
Well, I don't know the book, sir.
Never mind. How about 101 Ways to Start a Fight?
By?
An Irish gentleman whose name eludes me for the moment.
No, we haven't got it in stock, sir.
Not to worry. Can you help me with David Copperfield?
Ah, yes, Dickens.
No.
A big one?
No, Edmund Wells.
I think you'll find Charles Dickens wrote David Copperfield, sir.
No. Dickens wrote David Copperfield with 2 P's. This is David Copperfield with 1 P by Edmund Wells.
David Copperfield with 1 P?
Yes, I should have said.
Yes, well, in that case, we don't have it.
Funny, you've got a lot of books here.
Yes, we do, but we don't have David Copperfield with 1 P by Edmund Wells.
Are you quite sure?
Quite.
Not worth just looking?
Definitely not.
How about Great Expectations?
Yes, well, we have that.
That's G-R-A-T-E Expectations, also by Edmund Wells.
Yes, well, in that case, we don't have it. We don't have anything by Edmund Wells, actually. He's not very popular.
Not off. Nicholas Nickleby? That's K-N-I-C-K-E-R-L-E-S-S?
No.
Christmas Carol with a K?
No.
How about A Sale of Two Titties?
Definitely not.
Sorry to trouble you.
Not at all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh,
yes.
I wonder if you might have a copy of Barnaby Budge.
No, as I say, we're right out of Edmund Wells.
No, not Edmund Wells. Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens?
Yes.
You mean Barnaby Rudge?
No, Barnaby Budge by Charles Dickens. That's Dickens with 2 K's, the well-known Dutch author.
No, well, we don't have Barnaby Budge by Charles Dickens with 2 K's, the well-known Dutch author. And perhaps to save time, I should add that we don't have Carnaby Fudge by Dahl's Chickens, or Farnborough Sludge by Miles Pickens, or even Stickwick Stapers by Fowles Wickens with 4 M's and a silent Q. Why don't you try W.H. Smith's?
I did. They sent me here.
Did they?
I wonder...
Oh, do go on, please.
I wonder if you might have The Amazing Adventures of Captain Gladys Stoat pamphlet and her intrepid spaniel Stig amongst the giant pygmies of Beccles. Volume 8.
No, we don't have that. Funny, we got a lot of books here. Well, I mustn't keep you standing here.
Oh, well,
we haven't. Sorry, but, no, it's 1 o'clock now. No, we're closing for lunch.
I saw it over there.
What?
I saw it over there. Olson's Standard Book of British Birds.
Olson's Standard Book of British Birds?
Yes.
O-L-S-E-N?
Yes.
B-I-R-D-S?
Yes.
Yes, well, we do have that, as a matter of fact.
The expurgated version.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
The expurgated version.
The expurgated version of Olson's Standard Book of British Birds?
The one without the gannet.
The one without the gannet? They've all got the gannet. It's a standard British bird, the gannet. It's in all the books.
Well, I don't like them. They wet their nests.
All right, I'll remove it. Any other birds you don't like?
I don't like the robin.
The robin? Right, the robin. There you are. Any others you don't like? Any others?
The nuthatch.
Right, the nuthatch, the nuthatch, the nuthatch.
There you go.
There you are. No gannets, no robins, no nuthatches. There's your book.
I can't buy that. It's torn. I wonder if you have...
Go on, ask me anything. We got lots of books here, you know. It's a bookshop.
How about Biggles Combs His Hair?
No, we don't
have
that
one. Funny.
The Gospel According to Charlie Drake?
No. Try me again.
I know. Ethel the Aardvark Goes Quantity Surveying.
No. What?
Ethel the Aardvark Goes Quantity Surveying.
Ethel the... I've got it! I've seen it somewhere! I know what you have! Someone! Yes! Here we are! Ethel the Aardvark Goes Quantity Surveying! There's your book! Now, buy it!
I don't have enough money.
I'll take a deposit.
I don't have any money.
I'll take a check.
I don't have a checkbook.
I'll take a black one.
I haven't got a bank account.
Right! I'll buy it for you! There you are. There's your change. There's some money for a taxi on the way home. There's your book.
Wait! I can't read.
You can't read. Right. Sit down. Sit there. Are you sitting comfortably? Right. Ethel the Aardvark was hopping down the Rift Valley.
There you go. That's nice.
That was my dad's absolute favorite bit in the world.
Well, it's tight. It sort of typifies it. What's weird is they did three sketches that, by and large, are kind of the same.
Yeah.
Kind of the exact same sketch. The pet shop, the cheese shop, and the bookshop. In essence...
Basically the same.
The pet shop is kind of the furthest out, but it's still pretty bad. It's still close. I mean, it's great, but it's close. Do we really have comedy troupes like this anymore where... I mean, well, there are some, but not...
The ones that seem to get the most light don't really come close.
Right.
To at least... Yeah, the writing may be one thing or the other, but as far as their unique delivery...
Right.
You can't... The State comes close.
Yeah, The State came close. Very oddness. Human Giant had some stuff that was sort of close. They're making fun of Chris Angel, the Shutterbug, shit like that. Great. But, there's...
Kids in the Hall, but it's more strictly Canadian approach.
And that's the best way to put it, a very Canadian approach to it, you know?
Which flirts with that, Kissing Cousins to that kind of odd... off-the-wall satire of Monty Python.
I just got a text from Brian. Ben Affleck is the new Batman?
What?
Yes.
Yes, wake up.
Wake up, son.
Come on.
You're a day behind. But yeah, Sam's really fucking good. He's the F word at the table. I'm sorry, Mom. I mean, fine him abounds. Yeah, they get close, but yeah, there isn't anything that is able to perfectly combine that sharpness with the weirdness. Because what people forget is that British humor, for as dry as it is, there's a lot of weirdness that goes on with them.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of just, well, that don't make no kind of sense.
Odd.
Yeah, really. Yeah. You're silly.
Silly.
Which is what's great. Also, what they did that I loved is how they would do men dressed as women, but that they weren't Milton Berling it where just him wearing a dress was the joke. It was like, no, they're characters and there's a reason behind it. Mm-hmm. And how it's weird how it's one of the few sketch groups where you almost feel it. Could you imagine going cold into the middle of the Monty Python thing and how lost you would be?
No. God,
and it's something where if you start with nothing, it would take a handful of episodes before you even had a basis to be able to work from.
Palin and Jones on one side, Chapman and Cleese on the other.
Uh-huh.
Eric and Terry are just kind of
floating
between them, getting bounced around.
Yeah.
Because those two camps aren't budging.
No. No. Uh-uh.
Ever.
Yep.
Part of the reason they all decided to go their own way.
Yeah.
But then you're trying to, like, Terry, can you imagine? I can't even, it's why he was sitting there cutting paper all fucking day.
Yeah. It's like, no.
What else do you do? I can't get my foot in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I can be a director.
Because if you think about the types of personalities it takes to be able to get into Oxford or Cambridge to begin with, you've got to know your shit and be aware that you know your shit. Mm-hmm. So you've got the very intellectual, confident, educated, boom, shit together, kind of going head to head. It's fucking fascinating to see. There was a thing that came out recently about Graham Chapman called A Liar's Autobiography.
Mm-hmm. It's animated.
Yeah, it's animated. I actually have not seen that, but I watched the making of it.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the tangential stuff to Monty Python is very hard to watch.
Right.
Because it's, you know, it's people who are trying to kind of cop their style, but just can't quite land it, you know?
Yeah.
So it ends up
bad cover songs.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Where you're like, you went that direction with it, huh?
It's better just to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so then what I'm more moved towards with it, I haven't watched it in forever, but it's something that I know I could pop on a couple episodes of and be great with it.
Yeah, there's stuff in the Flying Circus that hits like fucking thunder every time. And there's a whole lot of stuff that doesn't hit at all.
Oh, yeah.
And it may hit more for the English sensibility and not some South Texas kid.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But there would be things that were totally bizarre that did work. The blancmange.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking great.
Sam Peckinpah's Salad Days.
Yes. There's little things that I couldn't tell you why I thought were funny when I was a kid. Like the bookshop thing.
Yeah.
I was on the fucking floor as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like charming and whimsical. But it's still funny to me.
Oh, yeah.
My old man, if I could forget about
it. Mm-hmm.
And he is not this kind of humor.
Well, what's funny, when you say that, it reminds me, I watched an episode of King of the Hill recently where Bobby found a comedy album among Hank's stuff. And it was Raymond J. Johnson Jr., now you can call me Ray. You can call me Jay. You can call me RJJ. And Bobby's like, so why are you laughing? Like, well, because it's funny. Because of this, like, no, it's not funny.
This was the Monty Python was one of those things that kind of separated me from a few of my friends. Not that I was better or anything like that.
Right.
It was just a very different way of looking at things.
Because
you would say you'd bring over the contractual obligation or the final ripoff, which is massive.
Yeah.
Hard to get through in one setting, even for a diehard fan like myself.
Yeah.
And bring that over to somebody whose record collection is music and for comedy, not even a Carlin or anything else. It would be fucking Ray Stevens.
Yeah.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah. And like Ray Stevens is a type of, I mean, going specifically with that, that's one where it's really hard to hard to gauge someone who really likes that, you know?
We're like, kids, so we're still just kind of feeling each other out here.
Right.
The streak, huh?
Yeah.
That's what does it for you.
When we were little kids, hell, I'm talking before we went to Panama, I remember watching Eddie Murphy Delirious. And it was like, okay, yeah, that set the bar for me. And so I looked at a lot of the other stuff. I'm like, no. When we came back from Panama,
Fuck.
I was on my album buying kicks, and I had, you know, Stephen Wright's I Have a Pony.
Mm-hmm.
That one was so goddamn
Steve Martin,
good.
Let's Get Small.
Yeah, Steve Martin's. Some of those albums, I hate that I just went, I blanked on it, because I had like a full thing of comedians. Even Gallagher. Had moments where he was genuinely hilarious.
Didn't we used to send mixtapes to each
other?
Yes,
we did. Of
stand-up?
Yeah.
And Lenny, you sent me all that great Lenny Bruce stuff.
And that was sophomore in fucking high school. Where it was like we would basically, instead of writing letters, it would be like, okay, I'm going to talk to you, sort of tell you what's going on in my life. Oh, yeah, here's a couple of songs and some stand-up. And then I'd come back. And it was basically this show, but with
it's the early years.
Yeah, the early years. God, if I could find one of those, how fucking weird would it be to hear that?
It would be creepy.
How weird would it be to find a tape player
Yes.
The only
I can tell you where you can find one. Right in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. The only one that I know of that I'm connected to, Hope has one in her car.
Huh.
Yeah, she's got an older. Really? She's got an old piece of shit car. I thought that I was the angriest driver in the world. Nope. Hope gets real close. And the way I describe it, I don't know if you've watched any of the In the Mix stuff. She is Malcolm Tucker. I'm Jamie McDonald.
Oh, God. That's that together?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Where you keep going, because I'm the, I'll push out your cock. You know? There's a bit with Malcolm Tucker where he says this when he's like, I'm going to yell at you now. And I just want you to know, I'm going to have to use a lot of violent sexual imagery. And I just want you to know that going in, that that's what's about to happen. You're like, oh, wow.
Oh.
Violent sexual imagery. Just, Yeah. Oh, which I posted. My sister posted a thing on my Facebook how apparently now dictionaries, including the Oxford English Dictionary, have expanded the definition of the word literally to include not actual, but used for emphasis. So now, literally, quite literally means literally and figuratively.
Oh, good.
Julie posted that, and my response was one of those Malcolm Tuckers. Fucking retarded, motherfucker. Like, this is a fucking pretzel. Just let it slip about the prime minister's catastrophic erectile dysfunction. Just, and she's like, that's exactly how I thought you would react to that. Like, yes, that is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, no, we have to reflect the language the way it's used.
No. No.
Yeah, you can do that for some words, but not for the defining words.
No.
Yeah. I accept in slang that, you know, oh, that is so bad ass. That, yeah, okay, that means good. You're a bad man. Can mean good. That, maybe, because context gives away. But literally, no, you can't change.
Let's not do that.
You can't. It means what it means.
Yes.
I love David Cross used to do a bit about that was so great, where people misuse it all the time, but he's like, man, it was so funny. I literally shit my pants. So what'd you do with the pants? What'd you do with the pants? Oh, see, I didn't actually shit my pants. I literally shit my pants. Fucking strangle you, son. Fucking murder your ass. Stone dead on the streets.
Right.
Over all of this nonsense.
This foolishness.
Yes, this foolishness. And that's what I think is missing from a lot of the comedy now, is the sharp intelligence of it. And that's what Monty Python had in spades, is that they were smart. They're smarter than you. They're smarter than everyone you know. And so
you don't know anyone who knows anyone who knows anyone that's smarter than them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably do, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hell, when my favorite moment that I pointed out to Hope, when they're doing How to Tell a Witch.
Yes.
And he's like, you know, what else, you know, why do witches
what
burn?
What also flutes in water? Bread. Apples. Very small rocks. Cider. A great gravy. Cherries. Mud. Churches. Lead. A duck. Exactly.
But the why do witches burn? And, yeah. And Cleese does that.
And there's a long beats. There's like three or four beats.
And Idol starts biting the scythe that he's holding. He improvised his timing on that. When he changed the timing, Idol started biting it to stop from laughing. And that, like, when you have your shit together, that's considered improv. Holding
because they made
wood.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That actually sounds like an impression that I do of someone. Ooh, yes. Which Hope, that's an impression I do of Hope whenever I think she's being too fancy and she thinks I make her sound like Popeye and hates it. Because she'll say something, I go, oh, yes. Good, 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 good,
good, good, good, good, good, good, good, good, good, good, good, good, good, good. When we're driving and we're all going to die because she gets very nervous. She's been in a lot of car accidents. She's a little jumpy.
You think there might be a reverse coalition to that, God. That perhaps she gets into car accidents because she's jumpy? Matt,
probably. But with other people, not her driving.
Right.
But when I'm driving. Oh, God. No. Which is terrible.
Right.
Terrible fucking impersonation.
driving with Hope. This is what it's like when Hope's driving.
Impression.
We're driving, and she's like, fucking cocks, you fucking cunt. Piece, like, swerving around people. I'm like, ooh. Whoa.
My.
Oh, my goodness.
Good Lord.
And you've met Hope.
I have.
Imagine.
At least once.
Barbaric.
Imagine that level of anger. That's coming out her face.
Shocking.
Shocking. Indeed.
Shocking.
Indeed. Man. Yeah, Monty Python's something where we could chisel out a conversation about it for fucking hours. But
certainly.
I don't know if we've got anything else to really add on it, do
Not
you?
So much.
About time to wind up here, yeah. I think. So write a review on Amazon. I mean, write a review for us on iTunes. That would be awesome. We got a new one, and it's awesome, and
good.
It's fucking great.
Thank you.
And thank you who wrote that. We've got shit that you can buy through our website from Amazon and all that. Go through our website first. Click on that shit. Send us an email at thefilmthugs@gmail.com or thugquestions@gmail.com.
Don't you go on, please.
I will. You can call us at 512-666-RANT or the_film_thugs on Skype or on Twitter. Clarksonomicon on
Instagram.
We are The Film Thugs and Clarksonian on Twitter.
Yes.
Facebook. I think I've got a MySpace and a Friendster account. We're on LinkedIn.
Really?
No, we're not on any of those.
Share files with me on Napster.
Yeah. And then while we're at it, I've got nothing. Shit, I was like, fuck, I'm going to come up with a brilliant thing to add to that, but I'm just not.
AOL chat.
Yeah, we can do an AOL chat and just do an Alta Vista search for Film Thugs AOL, and it'll take you to us. But only through Alta Vista or Lycos or Ask Jeeves.
Yes.
We're not on Google or Bing yet because we're not going to sell out.
No, man.
We keeps that shit real.
No way.
So, fuck. Is there anything else?
Pointed stick. Oh, oh, oh. We want to learn how to defend ourselves against pointed sticks, do we? Getting all high and mighty, eh? Fresh fruit not good enough for you, eh? Oh, oh. Well, let me tell you something, my lad. When you're walking home tonight and some great homicidal maniac comes after you with a bunch of Loganberries, don't come crying to me!